Title today is, What to Do with Hardships. What do you do with the hardships that you face in your life? The difficult situations, the difficult circumstances. And I don't think there's anyone here that has never been through a hardship. And there's definitely nobody here that will never go through a hardship. We go through hardships regularly. That's part of being alive. And so that's really the focus for today. Let's begin by just reading through the full passage in Philippians. And this is where we are, going through the book of Philippians. And let's look at Philippians 1:12. Start there. And we're going through the first half of 18. And this is a scripture that we're going to talk about today. It says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Dear Lord, as we talk about the scripture, I pray that you would help us to really understand what is being said here, what it means, how it applies to us, and pray that we would have the benefit of your holy word in our lives. We thank you so much. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So as we look at this, I use the word hardships here. Here's the definition of hardships. I took it from a couple different sources and combined it together. But it's something that causes or entails suffering or being deprived. So a hardship would cause you to suffer or to be deprived of something. It means you don't get something that you probably need or that you really want. You're left out. And in that, there's suffering in that. And I think we could probably think of a lot of circumstances in that we go through that are hardships. And usually, one of the ways you can think about a hardship, it's something that you're going through that you never really would pick to go through for yourself. Amen? It doesn't necessarily mean that you're running from it. It doesn't mean that you've thrown yourself down on the ground and are throwing a fit, stomping and screaming and those kind of things. But it's a hard thing you're going through. You wouldn't have chosen it that way, but you are, and that's the reality of life. And sometimes those hardships are brought on, and there's no input from us at all. There's nothing that we've done that's led to that. That just happens. And other times, they're out of our own choices. They're out of our own stupidity. Am I allowed to say that in church? But you have to be careful when the little kids are around, because they'll say, you said a bad word. You are not allowed to say that S word. Okay? But the truth is, sometimes hardships are from our own stupidity and the things that we do and the choices that we make. Sometimes I would say hardships are really a blessing in disguise. And actually, every time they can be a blessing in disguise, really. Even when it's from our own stupidity and some hardship comes along, good things come out of it. If our attitude is right and we receive it in the right way. So that's just something about hardship. Now here's a few more things about hardships. Every single one of us is going to face them. I really don't believe that you can get out of this life without facing hardships. It's part of the deal. It's part of the fall of man. It's part of the earth and the condition that we live in, that we face hardships. I guess if you have a job and you work for a living, that's just like a lot of times it's hardship after hardship. There's difficulties that are involved with that, to go and to do that, to make that paycheck and to bring it home and to pay the bills. Sometimes the hardship you might face is that you hate your job, but then all of a sudden your job goes away and you don't have a job anymore. And then you realize how much you loved your job. At least you love the paychecks. Right? And you go through that and you face that kind of thing, those kind of challenges. But we're all going to face another hardship that we really face. And we see here is the loss of life. This week, I think it was just yesterday, and I don't know if some of you will know this person. I just saw and read on Facebook that Dorothy Finney from camp, she passed away. She went home to be with Jesus, I should say, yesterday. And she had been battling cancer for a year. And her son-in-law is Matt Daniels. He's a good friend of mine. So, you know, that's one of the hardships we face. And I know that many of you have faced that recently. And so we think about it, and just the hardship of the separation from those we love. So they're real. These things that we're going to face, they're really real. They're really hard. We go through them. And the question is, what are we going to do with our hardships? What are we going to do when that hardship comes into our life? What do we do with it? Okay, what is your attitude going to be? What is your actual response within yourself, your attitude, what will it be? Have you ever heard of the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount? You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. One funny way that I've heard that said is like, what be your attitude? What be your attitude about things? And it's like that here too, with the hardship that comes into your life, what will your attitude be about it? And we can have a bad attitude towards our circumstance. We could say, you know, I've just really sour about it and just complain about it and be angry about it and bitter about it and hurt about it, and it can stop everything. That's one possibility of what happens with our circumstances. That can be our attitude, and believe me, that's normal. And if this is you, I don't say this to beat you up when you're down in any way. But this is kind of the natural response and where we are. Also, big question about our attitude is, what is our attitude towards God? We can go through hardship and our attitude can remain really faithful towards God and really positive and really looking towards Him. Or we could become bitter, or we could become angry towards God, or our faith could be diminished. Very important that it goes in the right way towards God, our attitude towards God. And then the next is, when we're in a hardship, what is our attitude toward the opportunity that we've been given? And because, like, this is where I'm going to say that every hardship that you have is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to serve God in that hardship. And so, do we see it? Do we see it as an opportunity? Do we see it as something that we've been given that we can use and that we can be a steward over? Just like we're a steward over finances, can we be a steward over the hardships that we face and the difficulties? Here's a verse that we actually talked about yesterday in men's Bible study, but fits really well here. Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose." So if you love God and you're called according to His purpose, His promise is that He works out all things for good. All things for good. Now, in the original Greek, the word that's used for all, do you understand what its actual meaning is? It's all. Every single one of them. Not just certain ones. No, God's working through this one, but this one is Satan and it's all him and God's not working on that one. Nope. Every hardship that you face, every circumstance, God promises that if you love Him, and I think what He's really saying here is if you're saved, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're a child of God, that part of the deal is that every single circumstance in your life, He is there working good into that situation and working it for good. That's one of the great promises of God that we stand on. So God's there working in that situation. He's working it for good. Now, who's good is He working it for? Who's good? Okay. Who's good is God working it for? He's working it for your good. He's working it for His good. And he's working it for the good of others around you. That's what God does. Now, in the context of this, as we look at it, when he says this, for those who are called according to his purpose, it says, for those whom he foreknew, God knew in advance, well ahead, before you were ever born, if you're his child, he knew you. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, which means that you're forgiven and you're saved. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So in effect, what Paul is saying in this, he's saying, you're going through trials, you're going through difficulties, but know that God is working it all out. And as part of that, one thing that you can know is that if you're a child of God, in the end, you're going to be glorified. It's undeniable. That there's a life after this one that you're going to live. And even if things don't work out the way you want them to in this life, you can look forward to faith that God has promised that you are 100% saved. And that's something that we can look forward to and we can trust, so that we can know that we can go through those hard times and it's not just about this life. So that's a great, great couple of verses. Now, what to do with hardships again? I would say, what to do with hardships? Trust that God is working them for good. So we just read this Romans 8:28. So it's to really believe God and it's to really trust Him. Amen? Amen. And it's hard sometimes. It really is. And I don't mean that it's not. I mean, it will be. But this is the information that you need to have. And this is what God is saying to you. Now, if you're like in the midst of a hardship, or someone's in the midst of a hardship, okay, you need to be careful how you say these things and how you present them. Okay, you don't want to just be that person that comes up, well, the Bible says this, and you know, you thump somebody over the head with it, but I would hope that with us, that we're hearing this in advance and we're growing and we have that understanding about God, so that when we do go through the hardships, we take that understanding with us. And we look for God in the situation. But that's one thing to do with a hardship, is to trust God. Trust God during those hardships. Now, again, it's to see the hardship that you have, that you're going through, as an opportunity to glorify God. This hardship is for God and His glory. And I'm a faithful steward. It means like I'm a manager of my circumstance. I deal with it. I deal with it in a way to bring honor and glory to God, because that's why I'm here and that's what I do. It's what I want with my life. Okay, so see that hardship as an opportunity. And then one thing I will say, there is nothing that glorifies God more than the gospel. That is really what it's all about. It is about what Christ did on the cross. It's about Jesus. And there's nothing that brings God any more glory than when we worship Jesus and when we share the gospel and when we live the gospel and when we believe. That's what glorifies God. That's what He wants to see. And so nothing glorifies God more than the gospel. All right, so getting into this passage, let's look more closely at what it actually says and why I said all those things that I said. And I think it's pretty clear here. Keeping in mind, Paul was very, very close to the Philippians. We covered that. We talked about that. Probably his closest church. And he's writing to them in this very affectionate letter. And a big part of why he's writing to them is he wants to address the fact that he is imprisoned in Rome. And he wants to tell them what they should think about this hardship that he's going through. Because most of us would see this as a very difficult thing. And so Paul writes, he says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So one of the very first things he tells them, when he tells them about being in prison, he doesn't tell them about the food. He doesn't tell them about the weight room out in the prison yard. And the basketball, wait, they didn't have that, did they? Never mind. Thinking about prison today and what it probably looks like. The educational opportunities and all these kind of different things. No, I back then, Paul's probably locked up to a guard 24 hours a day, and he constantly has this guard at his side, and he's in chains. He says, though, what about the imprisonment is that it has served to advance the gospel. That's for people to know who Jesus is, why He came, why He died on the cross, what it means to believe in Him, what it means to trust Him with your life. That's what the gospel is. And He says, I'm in prison, and it's really helped to advance the gospel. He says, though it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest of my imprisonment is for Christ. He says, guess what? I have reached people that I never would have been able to reach with the gospel if I hadn't been here in jail. You know those guards that are chained up to me? They hear the gospel every day. He probably never stops telling them. And they hear it again and again and again, whether they want to or not. He has a captive audience in that guard there. And because of that, he says that it's spread, and throughout the whole imperial guard, they all have known it, they all have heard it, and it wouldn't have ever happened if I didn't get sent here in jail. This is what Paul's saying. If I haven't been in prison. And do you think that Paul has looked at this as an opportunity? He has. He's looked at his hardship as an opportunity. He could have gone there and he could have done what most of us would do, which is to sit there and feel sorry for himself and think about everything he could do to get out, maybe plan his escape and do all these things. But no, he saw it as an opportunity to advance the gospel, and he did that, and it was spreading through the imperial guard. He said this, he said, my imprisonment is for Christ. I'm His prisoner here. I'm not a prisoner of my circumstance. I'm a prisoner of Christ and for Him. And because of that, this is all for Him and His purpose. He's in control. God is in control. The God I worship is not too small for this circumstance. He's in control, and I'm a prisoner for Him. So my hardship, my suffering has purpose. It's not empty. It's not just mere pain. It is for Christ. Amen. And so that's what he says. That's how he writes about it. He says, and most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He talks to them also. How should you think about my imprisonment? Well, one of the things you should see is that people probably thought that if I were locked in prison, if I were in this situation, that it would cause people to be afraid and it would cause people to stop sharing the gospel. But he says, you know what? The complete opposite has happened. People have become more bold and have more courage and go out and share the gospel more boldly. And isn't it that how it always works? That when the church is persecuted, when the church has opposition against it, that genuine faith stands up and comes out, and God uses it and brings courage out in people, and they do it. Do you think that if people want to remove your head from your shoulder because you believe in Jesus Christ and He's your Savior, that they will line you up and put you on video and cut your heads off because of that? Do you think and believe that that can stop Jesus? It can't, because the more that that happens, the more that God fills us with His Spirit and we go in courage. Amen. And so this is what was happening. And forgive me, because I get worked up about this, because this is awesome. You think about it. Because the world we live in, there's all kinds of crazy stuff happening right now. And the thing is that we need to know that no matter what level the hardship is, even if it goes to our very lives, that we can give it and we can have courage and we could step up in the face of persecution and opposition. And so he says that. He says the people have gotten more bold. And one of the things that hit me was this word right here. Most. He doesn't just say just a few of the brothers. You know what? A vast majority of the brothers have not shrunk down because I'm in prison and they don't want to go to prison in a similar way. They have become more bold. And I would hope and pray that we as Christians would be bold in our witness and bold in our faith. And that we would be emboldened by that, if we go through a hardship, that it doesn't knock us down and turn us away from God and strip us away from Him, but it causes us to be more bold, to be His witnesses more. And he says, they're doing it without fear. How can you do that without fear? Well, when your faith grows strong and you realize that, what's the worst anyone can ever do to you?
Send you to heaven.
Well, yeah, they could send you to heaven. We were talking in Sunday school in the new believers class. Not necessarily new believers, but the basic kind of class. We were talking about our dream vacations. Is there any place you can go that can compare to heaven? Now, I went to Hawaii this year, and I tell you what, I really liked it. Really liked it. I really liked the sunshine. But you know what I didn't like about it? Sunburn. Sunburn, sand rash, ear infection that I got from being in the water like constantly. I'd name a bunch of things. I didn't like that I couldn't just like 24 hours a day just enjoy it. I had to actually go to sleep. But hey man, going to heaven, going to just blow that away. And you will be able to enjoy it fully because there won't be these things like this, the sun that just burns up your skin and makes it so you can't enjoy it. I believe the sun has been there, it's good, but some of the effects and things and disease and stuff that we have, we won't have to worry about that in heaven. And so, we know because of that, that if we truly believe that, that we don't have to be afraid. Faith is what allows us to not be afraid. Amen? Okay, it goes on, it says, he talks about this, he says, hey, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. There are people that are out there that are preaching Christ with the wrong motives. This was true, this is what he was saying, back where he was, there were people that were preaching Christ with the wrong motives. But there are other people who are preaching Christ with goodwill. And this was true then, and it's true today. Some people preach Christ to make money off of it. They do. They really do. And some people are preaching Christ for the acclaim that they get and the position that they get and the things that they get out of it. That's definitely happening. But he says there are others that are preaching Christ from goodwill. So people preach Christ also with the right motives. And what are the right motives for preaching Christ? Well, I would say some of them would be to glorify God, to reach the lost, to be His servant. And as part of that, you know, to be willing to suffer through things and to give up things, to have hardships, to be deprived of things. That's part of the deal. But it's for the right motives. He says, the latter, and those are the ones of goodwill, the latter do it out of love. And they knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. So they're preaching Christ out of goodwill, and they know why Paul's there in prison. And they're doing it for all the right reasons. He says, the former, and this is in his case, proclaimed Christ out of rivalry. So some people were jealous of Paul. And he was their rival, basically. And so they're there, and with the way that they preach Christ and what they do is out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. They think that they're going to cause even greater trouble for Paul in what they do and how they say it. So their motives were not just gain for themselves, but to actually inflict more pain on Paul. So what would Paul's attitude be about that? And really, what should my attitude be about people that I perceive are preaching Christ with the wrong motives? Well, here's how Paul responded. He said, what then? He says, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. And so in my case, like, I see a lot of things that I don't necessarily agree with, and I'm not the final source of truth. I mean, I think that's God, and that's His Word. Okay, but you know, we have the ability to discern, and we look at situations, and I see places, and I see things that aren't right, and I hear people tell me about how they came to Christ, and they're like, it was a crazy church. But you know what? One thing, I still heard the gospel there, and I still believed, and now I'm trying to reverse some of the things that happened there in that church, but I did get saved through it. And that's kind of my attitude about it, is like, well, amen, God could still work through. I mean, I want to tell you something about this church. This church is not perfect. Everything that's taught here is not perfect. Every idea and every understanding, like there's, because we're human beings, there's room for error in it. Now we know that the Word of God is what's perfect and God is, but like we can mishandle it, right? We strive to handle it right, but we can. Amen?
Amen.
So I would say, and I can't tell you which one it is, as I don't know, but there's probably things in my understanding that aren't complete or right, or they're still being developed. And so I could teach you things sometimes that might not be perfect. And I'm doing everything I can to not do that. But the good news is that God still works through imperfect people like me. And the even better news is that God will work through imperfect people like you. Amen?
Amen.
Alright, so this was what made Paul rejoice. Alright, so this is a pretty simple message. Short and sweet, but the question for you is, what really matters most to you and in your life? What matters most? What matters more? Is it your life that you have, or is it the gospel? Is it your circumstances that you're in, or is it Jesus Christ? What matters the most? And I would say that every single day and every single moment is a time for us to answer that question. It is not just a fill in the blank. This is our life that we live. You're going to go out these doors and God's going to be saying to you, what matters most? What matters most? What matters more to you, your life or me or the gospel? He's going to be asking that. He's going to be asking that through circumstances. Okay, now my question for you is, what hardship in your life right now that you have can you use for the gospel? Can you come here today and is there some hardship that you have that you're facing that you can look at differently and you can say, you know what, I'm no longer letting Satan beat me up about that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use this as an opportunity for both me living the gospel and me sharing and advancing the gospel. I heard this one great sermon that I really liked, and just the one line stuck out to me. This guy was talking about suffering, and he says that when you're suffering and you go through a hard time, that during those times there are people who will listen to you that would never listen to you before. Your suffering opens up doors to get into people's lives and their hearts. And he said that your suffering is a bullhorn, is what he described it as. That stuck with me. Suffering is a bullhorn. So when you go through those hard times, you are given the opportunity then to use them for God's glory, to speak into people's lives that wouldn't listen to you otherwise. Amen? And that you get to do that. You know, you may be suffering some really severe thing or maybe something that you consider more mild. But more the idea here is that you look at your hardship and you say, how can I use this to glorify God? How can I use this to advance the gospel like Paul did? So I think that we should all really seriously not just hear this and learn about it, but we should actually look into our lives and say, what is the hardship that I'm going to use for Jesus? And then the next one is related to that. You think about Paul and his life and what he lived and how he went to prison, but how his life was actually used to make people more bold in their faith and more bold about sharing the gospel. So how can your life make others bold to speak the gospel? So that's the question you should ask yourself. You should say, wait a second. First of all, the way I'm living my life, does it make other people, you know, grow in their faith and more bold in their faith and want to follow Jesus more and want to talk to Him and want to share Him? Is the way I'm living my life, is that what's doing? Is that an effect of my life? Maybe you say, like me, you're like, whoa, okay, gotta check this. That's what I want to be. Maybe that's not where I am. Okay, what can I do with this limited opportunity I have to help people to be more bold in following Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel? What can I do about it? And again, just like the other question, I hope this isn't one that you come here and you let go in one ear and out the other. but that you really are challenged by this and you really think about what you can do to help encourage other people and make them more bold to share the gospel. I want to end with this verse right here. Jesus is speaking to His disciples before He sends them out. He says, "I have said these things to you that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for the difficult and hard circumstances that we face in our lives, Lord. And I pray that as people are here today, if there's anyone here that is especially hurting through a hard time or difficulty, that in Your tender love that You would meet them and You would help them through it and You would bring them to a new point of strength, Lord, in it. And that You would help them to look at this through faith, through trust in You, through different set of eyes, Lord, but one that's the kind of eyes that You would want us to have about our circumstances, and that You would allow us to take these kind of circumstances and use them for Your glory, Lord. We want to live the kind of life that makes other people more bold to share the gospel. We thank You for that, and we love You and we praise You, and it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.